Hey everyone, Matt the producer here. Things get a little sweary on this episode, just wanted to give you a heads up. Listener discretion is advised.
Engage, out of the park.
The NSR Media Network presents Out of the Park with Barry Davis, brought to you by aglaw.ca, The Jaywalk, and Foundation Physiotherapy. This week, former Blue Jays manager John Gibbons talks about interviewing for the circus that is the Houston Astros. And I called them that. John didn't call them that. Just for clarification.
Did you want to get in? I mean, yes, you want to manage. But wasn't there a part of you that said, oh, shit, man, I don't want to have to deal with this. Like, this is...
No, I just don't. You know what, Barry? You know, that didn't bother me at all. You know, I always, you know, I wanted to get back in number one. I knew what kind of team they got. You know, I knew what they were dealing with. I actually thought I was a perfect guy, man.
John Gibbons has spent his time fishing during quarantine. And your host? Well, he's been fishing once, but he can't put the worm on the hook. So it was once and done. Here he is, Barry Davis.
You know I don't like snakes, right?
Right.
And worms are actually miniature versions of snakes.
Not true.
I cannot take a worm and put a hook through it. Because to me, it's like killing a creature, right?
It is. So, it is killing a creature, yes.
So no, I cannot do that. If it is like one of those fake baits,
yeah,
I can do that. And you know, I've seen it working at Bass Pro Shops. I was walking through the fishing department doing some work in there. There's like 10,000 different baits. I'm like, are the fish really, are there that many different fish? And are they that really smart? Well, I'll have to ask Gibby this.
Okay, now, interesting little side note here, being that I'm a horticulturalist. If you removed the earthworm out of our ecosystem, okay, forests would collapse within 2 years. Gone.
So what you're saying is do not use real worms to fish. Get the fake bait?
No. You can actually use real worms to fish. There is, if you don't, it's kind of like population control. These things, worms are super, super prolific. Remember, they got both male and female on the same creature, right? They can just be banging themselves.
I remember that.
Yeah.
That's all I remember. That's all I
remember. That's it.
From science class was the reproduction of the earth.
Yeah, and so...
And how they would... Literally, you'd screw yourself.
That's it. Go screw yourself. Worms like, got it, on it.
Well, this is quite the start to Out of the Park, and welcome to the program. And as you probably got from the beginning, we will be in conversation with former Toronto Blue Jays manager John Gibbons. We'll find out what he's been up to during the COVID lockdown, what his plans are for the future, because he does have a gig, but it's not a managerial gig like he wanted. And I think we also need to find out, Matt, is he in some ways relieved he didn't get the Houston Astros gig? Or would he be like, yeah, I'll take this thing. I'll smarten these guys up. Because I'm curious to know, what would have happened if anything like this had happened under his watch as manager of the Blue Jays, if he had found out the guys were doing this kind of stuff?
I would imagine that this stuff would not have happened under his watch, to tell you the truth. And I'm not saying anything against A.J. Hinch, but you know what? I am saying stuff against A.J. Hinch. Gibby would not have allowed this, right?
Cool. Yeah, well, we'll find out from John Gibbons. We don't have any Ask Barry Davis questions this week. Come on, people. Let's go. Let's go. Let's get some questions in. But up next, we will not only talk about the future of Major League Baseball, but we're also going to talk about some things that sports fans can do to keep themselves entertained whilst we wait for sports to return. There's Matt. I'm Barry. You're listening to Out of the Park.
Ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys, the first pitch with Barry Davis.
The first pitch, well, has been brought to you by the Jaywalk. And you know what? We've given them a couple of months of not having to, pay out because we understand the situation that's going on. But we're not going to stop giving them the plugs they deserve.
I agree.
Matt, Julie and company do such a wonderful job. And when they can get themselves back on their feet, then we will gladly accept their, their advertising fees every month. But in the meantime, continue to visit the Jaywalk because they do have a whole selection of great things that are available to you right now. TheJaywalk.com is the place to go for all your sports fan paraphernalia. So, Matthew, there's still a lot of talk about when baseball may return. And in the meantime, there's always little things that we're hearing about. And in a few minutes, I'm going to give some suggestions of some great TV movies, documentaries, and stuff that you can be watching. But First of all, Bryce Harper has been making a lot of noise lately, and he is not happy with the fact that Major League Baseball players will not be able to play in the Olympics. He was on a podcast called Starting Nine Podcast, which probably is not as good as Out of the Park.
I would agree.
But his quote is, "It's such a travesty to me. The Olympics are in Japan, in Tokyo, and you're not sending the big league guys? Are you kidding me? You want to grow the game as much as possible, and you're not going to let us play in the Olympics because you don't want to lose out on the money for a two-week period? Okay, that's dumb." I'm on the fence with this, Matt, because I've always been appreciative of the fact that the Olympics were for amateur athletes, right? That's always been the thing, amateur athletes. But then they started putting professionals in because I know in certain parts of the world, in certain sports, hockey, baseball, the amateur athletes from other parts of the country, other parts of the world, were better than the amateur athletes in North America. So it's like, if we're going to compete, and this all started with the Dream Team, right? Basketball players, when they allowed NBA players to compete at the Olympics. The Americans never, very rarely were winning at the Olympics in basketball until they were able to send NBA players. And then it was just like craziness, right? And then I know the NHL did it. Did the NHL do it a couple of times? I think they did, right?
Yes, they did. Yeah.
And Major League Baseball, I can't recall if they did. If they did, they only did it once. Yeah, I do remember, because I think JPR and CBM may have been a part of that, unless that was the World Baseball Classic. But regardless, how do you feel? Do you think Major League Baseball players and professional players in other sports should be allowed to compete in the Olympics?
I feel very, very strongly about this. Okay.
Do you?
Yeah, I'm gonna get pretty heated about this. I think it is a crock of shit for any league to not send their players to the Olympics and then speak out of their ass and say that they want to grow the game, but they're not gonna send them to the Olympics. I think it is absolute bullshit that the NHLers were not at the Olympics at the last go around. I also think it's absolute bullshit that the MLB players are not at the Olympics around. Listen, if you want to be an amateur athlete, go and play in the NCAA. But if I am watching the Olympics on the television as a fan, I want to see the best players in the game do it. It is bullshit, bullshit, bullshit to me that the MLB would not want to do this. This is what infuriates me about owners, okay? Growing the game means you want to suck more money out of my bank account, but you don't want to give anything for it, right? The whole thing with the NHLers in 2018 or whatever the hell year that was, oh, it's too far away. Yeah, but you rat bastards are opening the season with the Edmonton Oilers this past year in freaking, was it Beijing, China? It's the same stinking distance away. Here's the reason that you don't want to do it, because the owners don't want to pony up any extra money for insurance for players, which is
not
all
to mention they're going to have to shut their league down.
Right. And, but they shut their league down for the freaking All-Star game and no one gives a rat's ass about that. It's absolute
bullshit.
How long
do they do that for though? For like 4 days,
no,
5 days maybe.
No. It's 10 days in the NHL.
Not during the All-Star break.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is, because there's a man.
The last game is on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, are you talking about the NHL?
Yes.
Okay, I'm talking about Major League Baseball.
Okay.
Yeah, so I guess with the NHL, absolutely. And I know that this was more of a Gary Bettman thing, right?
Well, yes and no, because what happened is, listen, and it's partly on the IOC, and actually I think that the IOC is the most corrupt, disgusting, horrifically awful sports body.
Well, that I can agree with you on.
Yeah, well, okay, FIFA's not much better, but the IOC, Mr. What's that guy's name? Rene Fassel, he can just suck it. I hate that guy. But the point is that the IOC is not willing to help at least come to 50% of paying the NHLers insurance to have these NHLers come over to, say, Beijing, China for the games, which is all fine and dandy. The only thing is that your viewership drops for the Olympic Games in the winter if you don't have the NHLers. Because, listen, our Canadian national team doesn't exist. It plays in the NHL. I'm sorry, but watching Brooks Like play for the Canadian national team or whatever it was is nothing like watching Sidney Crosby and Connor McDavid and all of these players. So, listen, Mr. Rene Fassel, if you want to have viewers watch your program, a couple things need to happen. Firstly, you have to come to at least halfway, pay 50% of the NHL's insurance, because these are the best players on earth. Secondly, the reason why we can't watch any highlights of the 2010 Golden Goal by Sidney Crosby is because the Olympics owns the rights to those highlights. Well, wait a second. Sidney Crosby, who plays for the NHL, was the guy that got the goal. Rene Fasel, he can rot in hell. I hate that guy. I cannot stand him. As well as, I don't want to see some low-end Canadian college baseball player playing in the Olympics. I want to see Joey Votto. Right?
Now you've just insulted all the Canadian college baseball players.
Listen, they have Canadian low-level tournaments. I get it. But I want to see the best players on earth do it. Right?
Okay, I'm going to play devil's advocate with you here. Isn't that what the World Baseball Classic is for?
Okay, great. But you know what the thing of it is if you're watching the World Baseball Classic, you're watching the World Baseball Classic because you are a baseball fan. But the number of new eyes on the Olympics that are watching just for the Olympics that would maybe be turned on to baseball because it's part of the Olympics, you can't, that's priceless.
Fair enough.
Right?
Fair enough. Okay. I agree with you, though. I would definitely watch a lot more of the Olympics if I could see NHL players in the Winter Olympics, if I can see Major League Baseball players
Agreed.
And NBA players in the Summer Olympics.
Absolutely agree. And listen, like I'm now caught up on The Last Dance.
Oh, okay. So this is something that I wanted to bring up.
Baby. Too, oh, baby.
I'm only three episodes in.
Oh, baby.
I literally just finished the Dennis Rodman episode.
Yeah.
Where they talked about him growing up. And I tell you what, I had forgotten how freaking manic those Detroit Pistons were in the 80s. Like, they were vicious. And you see the beating that they put on Michael Jordan in his first few seasons.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about nowadays, how many players, and if you haven't watched The Last Dance yet, I highly, highly recommend it, whether you are an NBA fan or not, because this is just great, great TV. It's produced so well. I even love the up-to-date interviews with Jordan and Pippen and Rodman and such. But they do such a wonderful job with it. And
it might be the best sports documentary I've ever seen.
I would hazard to argue with you that Ken Burns Baseball is the best sports documentary I've ever seen. But this is very well done. Absolutely very well done. And again, I'm only three episodes in, so it's phenomenal what I've seen so far. But again, there were a lot of basketball players, that wanted to be the next Michael Jordan. There were a number of players who did a lot of the things Michael Jordan did. I mean, you look at Vince Carter. He did a lot of the high-flying dunks, and you can see how many players modeled their games after him by mimicking certain moves that Michael Jordan did.
Yeah.
But there is not another player that I've ever seen that took the beating that Michael Jordan did as a skilled player, as opposed to someone who is, you know, 7 feet tall, 280 pounds, kind of big bruiser guy.
Yeah.
Right? Nobody would take that kind of physical abuse and get up and continue to play. Like, they'd either get hurt or they'd just say, screw it. Like, I remember Vince Carter during his first few seasons with the Raptors. The first couple of seasons, he was to the basket every time, every single time. Then he started getting hacked. What does he do? He starts taking jump shots, right?
Yeah.
He says to the world he doesn't want to dunk anymore. And, of course, you remember that wonderful conversation I had with him about not dunking anymore. But it just makes him even more remarkable. And I love Phil Jackson. I love hearing him.
Me too.
Right? Just a great, great story. And I knew how good Dennis Rodman was. But there are a lot of folks out there that only know him as this crazy-ass dude. First of all, I didn't realize that he didn't do drugs. He drank it. He drank his ass off.
Yeah.
Probably still does. But he was not a druggie.
No.
He was just a little bit out there. Right?
Well, and know what?
Nobody ever could rebound the ball.
Yeah.
Like Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, and the thing too is what a unique skill set, right? Like, what a unique skill set. Like, this guy was
he didn't care about scoring.
No,
he didn't have to score.
No,
he didn't need the basketball right? He would get the basketball when it became, you know, a free ball out there.
Yeah.
And, man, some of those shots that you see of, you know, just the amount of tips between two players, and Rodman would always end up with the ball.
Yeah.
Any way possible, he'd end up with the ball. He even stole a rebound from Jordan that one scene. And Jordan's like, hey, man, I'm not going to fight with you on this one. This is yours, right?
Yeah, and, you know, but again, it's one of those things where he would have been the closest to an agitator that basketball would have had. He was brought in to basically get the other team off of their game mentally, as well as go into the dirty areas. Like, this guy was your third or fourth line grinder guy that would come in. And it's just, there's a line where they talk about how when they traded Charles Oakley away, and who came back for Oakley? Oh man, who was it?
Yeah, I can't recall.
Anyway, so they brought some other guy back, and Michael Jordan was not necessarily happy because he and Charles Oakley were super, super friends. Yep. But
Mike, because there was some time between Oakley and Rodman.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Right? And so, but Michael Jordan acknowledges that Charles Oakley needed to go because they needed to bring in a bit of a heavier guy, a guy that would come in and begin to protect and begin to be a bit of a looming presence on the court. As well as, I love when Michael Jordan says, yeah, man, I'm just getting my ass kicked here. I have to get in the gym in the off season and just get bigger and more built because I just keep getting myself knocked off the ball here.
Mm-hmm. And I don't ever like to speak ill of the dead, but I will say, and I said this back in the day, Jerry Krause was kind of slimy to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right? Slimy. But then again, too, though, he also was the architect behind assembling that.
Right? He was. I mean, in some ways. I mean,
well, when you have the best player on the planet playing for you. And you know what's interesting is
he also treated Scottie Pippen like crap.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And the contract, for our listeners that haven't watched it yet, they detail Scottie Pippen's contract, and this guy
partially his fault too, right? He signed that contract.
He did. But remember, like, you're coming from a poor background where if someone throws $1 million a season at you, you're like, absolutely. Like, I grew up with nothing. But Scottie Pippen was the best player, the best basketball player on earth. Unfortunately, he played alongside an even better basketball player, right? So he was the...
So you're saying that Michael Jordan was the best player beyond earth?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was... Okay. But, like, if you were to take Michael Jordan off that team, instantly Scottie Pippen becomes the best player on that team. Right? Mm-hmm. But it's just he was playing alongside. So think about it. Like, you have the best 1-2 punch out there. Like, this is when this is when the Jays had Donaldson followed up by Jose Bautista. You're like, well, damn, what do I do with this? Right? So
I'm glad you made the transition back to baseball because I want to tell you this story. Okay. We've talked many times about how umpires don't take enough responsibility they're not accountable for their mistakes, okay? You hear what's happening in South Korea right now?
No.
Okay, so a player criticized the umpiring in a Korea baseball organization game, and basically the five umpire crew, so there's five of them in the crew, from that game, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Have been demoted to the minors for retraining.
Okay, here's what I don't understand about the MLB and you got the umpires union. Okay, I don't understand this. So, and you've covered professional baseball for a lot of years, so you would have more of an insight. But from the outside looking in, the framework of it looks like this. The MLB owns the league, right?
Yep.
Okay, the umpires union works for the league, right?
Yep.
If the umpires suck, the league can say, get the F out, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So why is sucking allowed? Why is Angel Hernandez and why is Joe West allowed to exist? This is what I never understood. Why are you fearing the umpires union? You know what you do? Cut them out. Bye-bye. We're going to bring up a whole bunch of brand new ones. And if the umpires union doesn't like the electronic strike zone or whatever that is, who gives a shit? They work for you.
You got a little potty mouth going on this week's show.
But just to me, I never understand why the MLB cowers in the corner of the umpires union. The umpires work for Major League Baseball. Rob Manfred, who clearly has no nuts at all because he can't find the Houston Astros properly, and he's basically sucking at the teat of the freaking Boston Red Sox, he's also scared to death of the umpires union. You're the damn boss. Run your league.
Here's a little more, and we've got about 4 minutes before we'll have John Gibbons on the show, but this is a quote. Even though it's only been three games this season, a lot of players are really unhappy with the lack of consistency on ball strike calls. This comes from one of the players that said this. I'd like to ask all the umpires to please be more considerate of the players. We're all very confused with the inconsistent zone. I know the umpires are doing their best out there, but I just hope they should start seeing things from the players' perspective, too. The KBO said that the five-man umpiring crew in question will all begin working games in the Futures League, South Korea's equivalent to AAA. However, the league also asked players to stop openly criticizing the officials. So, look, they're always criticizing the umpires in Major League Baseball, right? The fans do. The media
does. Yeah, absolutely.
But the league just will not punish them for poor performances, and we've never, ever seen in my lifetime an umpire get demoted. It's possible. By the way, some people look good in masks, some people don't, but this I think this looks real cool with the umpires wearing the black face mask underneath the, you know, protective mask.
Speaking of face masks,
picture of one of these umpires.
Have you seen the NHL? They've now come out with NHL branded face masks. You can wear your favorite team on your face mask.
Oh, no way.
It's hilarious. You
know, I was in a drugstore, and I was thinking, man, they must not be selling much lipstick lately or any makeup because, you know. But I was thinking, why don't they design a mask that completely replicates or duplicates the look of that person's face?
I agree.
So that when you're wearing a mask from a distance, it still looks like you. It has your lips, or if you've got a facial hair, has your beard. Just,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
Don't you think that'd look cool?
Oh, man. It would. My beard would be like the biggest seller. It would be fantastic. It would sell one to me.
All right, Matthew. In a few minutes' time, we're going to be joined by former Toronto Blue Jays manager John Gibbons. In the meantime, we've been working really hard recording songs from both We Ain't Petty. And Driven, our Cars tribute, and we're now going to hear the latest recording from Driven. This is us doing a song from the debut album from the Cars. This is Good Times Roll right here on OTP.
Let the good times roll. Let them knock you around. Let the good times roll. Let them make you a clown. Let them leave you up in the air. Let them brush your rock and roll. And let the good times roll. Won't you let the good times roll? Oh. Let the good times roll. Let them give you a ride.
Won't you let the good times roll? Won't you let the
joining us on the line now from his lovely estate in San Antonio, Texas, is former Toronto Blue Jays manager and future something, John Gibbons. What are you doing during lockdown, Gibby?
Well, actually, just right now I'm moving into a new house.
Oh.
That's preoccupying. Hey, I live down here. You live in South Texas now. You get some pretty good deals, man. It's not like that big.
Now, you actually, so the real estate industry has been completely done since COVID has come out. Like, people don't want to look at houses. People aren't selling houses. Did you actually go and do a walkthrough of this new house, or was this all done prior to the lockdown?
Well, you know, it was done early on before everything really hit. They started locking everything down. But we got a good deal because of the situation, you know. It wasn't necessarily late for one, but, you know, I think that might help us a little bit. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, everything's really come to a screeching halt. But, you know what? In the last week, we managed to go out to a couple of restaurants.
What?
And eat dinner.
Are
yeah,
you?
I mean, they were down in Texas. Yeah, I mean, they've opened things up slightly. So, you know, me and my girl, we went down to a couple of restaurants. You know, and there wasn't a whole lot of people in there, and they staggered the seating, but they're up and running, a lot of them.
Oh, man, I can't even remember the last time I went to a restaurant, Matt.
It's yeah, and you know what, Gibby? Honestly, I think this is a big time character fault on your part, because the fact that you didn't even consider moving back to Toronto, that's a big wound, man. That's a deep, deep wound.
Man, you guys are crazy up there, man. Cost of living is way too much. I'm down here with simple folks.
What are you talking about? You got paid to do nothing for a year.
Whoa, that sucks. That's mean, but it's true.
Yeah.
They want to pay maybe 2 years. I'm saying things happening right now. I've got that down to the science.
So check this out, Gibby. During this whole lockdown, one of the things that you have not been able to do here is launch a boat to go fishing. So all the boat launching docks have been closed off. So even if you went and by yourself and you had a little fishing boat, they wouldn't let you do it. So fishing has been real hard to do for many people. Have you been out fishing a lot since, you know, there hasn't been a hell of a lot else to do lately?
No, I was living down in Corpus Christi in the Gulf of Mexico, you know, for a few months. And so I was doing quite a bit of fishing, but that was prior to all this, and now I'm back in San Antonio. But, you know, I was watching a news show one day, and they were talking about that, the same thing. It makes no sense. If you don't take your boat out, I mean, you might have to be surrounded by that street, or you ought to be able to at least go out and fish, you know? I get what they're trying to do, but in a lot of ways, in certain areas, I think we've gone way too far, that's for sure.
So then, Gibby, what's the biggest fish that you've ever pulled in? But besides your wife, right? Right?
Well, I caught some. One year I was playing down in Norfolk, Virginia. That's AAA. And one of the guys on our team, Ed Hearn, and one of the catchers, and met some charter boat captain down there. He took a handful of us out fishing one time. Fish for tuna. We were about 40 miles after we hit the Gulf Stream and caught some big tuna. Which I think, I'm not sure, which you really get the blue, they get the black, and then, you know, the yellowfin tunas. one of the big ones, but whatever it is, we got about 50 of them. And they're big fish, you know, they're in the 40, 50, 60-pound range.
Whoa!
So we caught enough of those, we got tired of reeling them in or somebody of them. But other than that, my favorite fish to fish for is the snook, and I caught my biggest one of that is a 30-pounder.
Gibby, wow. I got to tell you, we tried to do this conversation earlier on via Facebook, which was great because we could actually see you, but the line sounded like crap. Now we got you on the phone. Like, have you got the phone like in your pants right now? Sounds like.
you know, nobody can understand me anyway.
That's right.
It's the truth.
Here's my question. So as I told you off air, I work at Bass Pro Shops now, and I was doing some work in the fishing department the other day. And there is like about 3,000 different lures that you can have. And I'm thinking, are the fish really that smart? Like, why are there so many different things to put on your hook to catch a fish? There's more different lures than there are types of fish.
Yeah, I don't get that either, you know? I mean, you guess you're trying to just trick them all the time. But, you know, a lot of times it usually goes back to the old basics, too. You know, the old no-proven ones, the original type lures. But yeah, it is. I think it's like anything else. You know, somebody comes up with a new something, they can make a little advertisement out of it. And all you got to do is show catching one fish, and people will buy it, man, because they love fish.
Okay, so I have a fishing story for you. So when I was young, I guess I would have been probably under the age of 10, and my sister was probably 6, and my father... So my father knew a guy who dug ponds for a living. This was his job. He actually would go to people's properties and basically assess the property, and he would dig out these ponds. And so he had, I would say, probably 50 to 60 acres of property where he would dig out ponds and kind of use it like a pond showroom and bring potential clients to this and show them, okay, this model, quote unquote model, there's this or that. So what he would do is he would actually, it was super cool. He had all the big dredging equipment and everything. So he would stock these ponds full, and I'm talking full of fish. So my dad knows this guy, and the guy says, listen, here's the keys. If you want to come over on a Sunday, there's boats on the shoreline. Get like a little rowboat out there. If you want to bring your kids over and do some fishing, no problem. Well, Gibby, these ponds were stocked so heavy. So my sister, who was 6 or 7 years old, she put 32 casts in and she got 38 fish out. These things were practically jumping out of the pond into the boat. So then what would happen is about 2 or 3 months later, my dad goes, okay, let's go fishing elsewhere. But the ponds weren't stocked in these other places. So you're sitting around for 2 hours, and my sister, who's like 6 or 7, she's like, fishing sucks. Like, let's go back to the other pond, man. It was great.
Oh, that's the way it is. You go to some of those stocked ponds. Real quick story, let me give you, now that you mentioned that one, because I had a buddy who lived down south of San Antonio a little bit. But he had a friend that had a farm, and they had these little stock tanks. You know, they might have been about acre, 2 acres at the most. And the way they had these big oak trees all around this thing. So the way we fish, I'd never done it before. It was the coolest thing. You know, we catch a little perch, little brim, whatever you call them, whatever you want to call them. And those were our bait, right? And so what we do is you put a bobber on, and you hook up, your bait fish. And then one guy gets up in one of the oak trees, So you're looking down into the water. Yeah. The other guy's fishing on the shore, and you get all this, you get all the grass, and then you get these cutout areas, kind of like the beds where they breed and everything. And so the guy up in the tree watches, and it's amazing. You throw the bobber out there, and this little perch is sitting there, and all of a sudden it goes real silent. And then about 6 or 7 big bass would just surround this thing. I mean, it's like a perfect circle. And then there's this dead silence. The bats are watching. The perch isn't moving. So then when you sit in the tree, you go, okay, they're there. And you have a guy down on the shore. They pop your line. So he jerks his line, and it makes that bait fish move. And then one of them grabs it. And then, then the fight's on. It's the most incredible thing I've ever seen, how they actually stock and feed and, bass. It needs a big bass because there's a small little pond stop, like you said. Never. It was the most incredible thing I ever did, but one of the most fun things I ever did.
Do you have your own boat, wow, Gibby, or do you rent one when you go fishing? How does it work for you?
No, when I'm down at the coast, I usually get back in the bays, and I just charter a little boat, a little captain, you know, a little bay boats.
Did you do a lot of fishing trips in spring training in Florida?
No, you know, the only thing we usually, all we do is, you know, go down, we most of the guys stayed in Innsbruck, the golf resort. We got little ponds all around that thing, you know, around on the golf course, and we catch big old fish down there, bass. You know, Stephen Brunt took me one, we did a little skit.
I remember that.
We went out fishing in Tampa Bay, had a blast. Hey, now this prof's got to be killing Brunt, man. That's all he wants to do is fish.
I know. Well, you know, if he's spending his time in Newfoundland, it's easier because I think they've only reported like a handful of cases in Newfoundland and things are getting back to normal there. But Gibby,
he might break the rules anyway.
Yeah. Listen, you've been around the block, so to speak, meaning you're a little bit older than I am.
That's not nice.
Right. I mean, you lived through the Spanish flu and the swine flu and all those other things, right? What has this been like? What has this been like for
the Great Depression?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah,
the
exactly.
Great Depression. Yes.
And now you're getting to live through the Roaring Twenties for a second time. So that's pretty cool, right?
Nice. Well done. Well done, Barry. Well done.
What has this been like for you, simply from a sports point of view and from a working point of view? And because you just got yourself a new gig, not the gig that I'm sure we all wanted you to have, but. You know, this must be killing you to know that there's no baseball happening now.
I know. Yeah, it's been it's been crazy. I mean, you can't find any sport, you know. And it kind of puts things in perspective. You know, when it's serious enough to shut down all the sports in the world. You know, I mean, it's pretty serious stuff. And, so I'm anxious to get it going. You know, I hear different things here and there about what they may try to do, but you know, I mean. Everybody and their brother has an idea, so you don't know what to believe. But hopefully they get something cranking here before too much longer. Yeah, because, you know, our country, Canada, all the countries, you can't shut us down forever. I mean, we got to go. You know what I mean? People got to go to work. You know, the economy's got to start rolling. We're workers, you know? When people, you know, it seems like they're starting to get under control a little bit, not all the way, but still, you gotta get this thing moving.
I know it's slowly happening here. I mean, Matt, you can probably speak for the landscaping part of it because Matt's in the landscaping business again now. So, you can just let us know what is it like from that point of view. Are you getting back out and doing things?
Well, listen, I've got probably $40,000 to $50,000 worth of landscaping. Basically available to do, but the problem is I would say 80% of my clientele have been laid off. So yeah, I have names on contracts, but when they don't have jobs to pay for landscaping, what do you do? Right. So
hey, what the heck grows up there in the winter anyway? What are you doing?
Hey, it's not that bad. Come on. It's not listen, we have a way better growing climate than, you know, down in Texas. Texas, it's hot all the time. That's it. Right.
Hey, let me tell you, I did a sports banquet out in Moose Jaw 2 years ago, and it was 50 below, so I don't want to hear you ain't growing nothing.
Okay, hold up a second. Speaking of Texas, Gibby, there were rumors, and they were substantiated rumors, that a certain favorite former manager of all of Canada interviewed for a job with the Houston Astros. Would you know anything about that?
Oh, yeah, man, where you been? It's old news, huh?
Well, the only reason we knew is because somebody banged on a garbage can to let us know you were being interviewed.
Ooh.
Oh, well, obviously the interview didn't go that good. I would have got the job.
But Gibby, honestly, did you want to get in? I mean, yes, you want to manage. But wasn't there a part of you that said, oh, shit, man, I don't want to have to deal with this. Like, this is...
No, I think, you know what, Barry, you know, that didn't bother me at all. You know, I always... You know, I wanted to get back in number one. I knew what kind of team they got. You know, I knew what they were dealing with. I actually thought I was a perfect guy, man, to kind of, you know, buffer it a little bit, just, you know, take the heat off of some of those guys and, you know, guide them through it. You know, and they got a good one in Dusty. You know, I think it'd be perfect for that also. So, no, I looked at it as a challenge. You know, I went in and sat down with the owner, Ukraine, really liked him, you know, you know, would love to work for them someday, you know, if it came down to that. But, you know, it's another challenge. But, you know, anytime you get it managed, you know, there's going to be a lot of distractions. But anytime you get managed, one of the better teams in baseball with some of the most talent in all of baseball, how could you not want to do it? You can put up with BS.
Matt and I were talking before we got you on about what would Gibby do if he found out this shit was happening with the Blue Jays when he managed there. And Matt, your response was, it probably wouldn't under Gibby's watch, right?
No, there's no way. Like, no way, man.
Well, how would you handle a situation like that?
Well, it's really hard to say, you know, and, you know, maybe we should have been trying a little bit more. Maybe we would have won some more games.
Well, right? Didn't you have the man in white? Remember the man in white that was out in the outfield?
Oh, yeah. Well, that was my, when I was, at the time I was coaching in Kansas City. And I do remember we came to town, and one of our coaches received a call from another coach around the league and said, hey, watch the cameraman in center field, the guy in the white shirt. Okay. And in the first night in town, Zach Greinke was pitching. I think that was the year Zach won the Cy Young. He hadn't been tough. He might have been in the middle of the day when we came to Toronto. And you guys just beat him up. I never seen, you know, it's like, oh, maybe there's something to this, you know? I asked a few guys along the way. They were part of that team years later. They would have had an axe to grind. I mean, they kind of had some bad partying with the team. And so, yeah, I'm sure they would have told me something there. They said, no, there was nothing to that. I would have heard about it, too, you know, even somehow. Even though I wasn't there at the moment, I would have heard somehow. You know, the FBI.
But if your team that you were managing, whatever team it is, and you find out that they're doing something like this, what do you do? Because obviously AJ Hinch admitted he did the wrong thing. Like, he should have stepped in more than he did, but it's a tough situation to be. It's easy to say in hindsight, oh yeah, I should have done more. But at the time, it may not be that easy.
No, it really isn't. It'd be easy to say, yeah, it's easy and all that. You know, I mean, the team's going good. You know, the thing about what the bad part about all that, they take it to the extreme, you know, with all the technology and, because science dealing has been, you know, a part of it forever, you know, and I don't think anybody has a problem if you're on second base and you have to kick your side and you kick the side. That's been going on, and I don't have no problem with that because, you know, I'd rather see the defense team get a little better with their side. But the reason any of this exists now, in baseball, I mean, you guys know all about it. You still hear things about it. If somebody thought somebody was stealing signs, they'd drill a guy when he's hitting. Or they put a stop to that. And then, you know, nobody would do it. Now you guys get hit by pitches regardless of the situation. You know, everybody gets suspended, you know, and whatever it is. It's curbed that part of the game. I mean, it's shut, you know, that aspect of the game down. But it's also opened up, by doing that, that's opened up another can of worms, which is the shootings up. You really know the way to retaliate unless you're relying on the league to punish everybody.
So then, Gibby, you've managed a lot of years in baseball. You've also been around the game for a whole lot of years. Like, the prevalence of this, you must have a bit of an inside track on this. Now, not necessarily to name names or teams, but this has to be going on a lot more than people think. Am I correct?
Well, trying stealing. I mean, it's like everybody's looking for that advantage. And I know, you know, some people probably say, well, you know, cheating that. You know, it's just, you know, the highest level of sports, you know, you're looking for an edge. And I think really what it comes down to, what I'm talking about, you know, the defensive team's got to do a better job of hiding their signs, you know. But you know, I mean, you look at look in the NFL, they're always going after the Patriots, you know, filming things or cheating at practice or whatever it is. Yeah, I take it to the extreme. I mean, you know, baseball is just kind of, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, you start bringing technology, which is big today. You know, you get TV cameras, TV monitors all around the dugout. You know, it's just, you know, because of the instant replay and all that. I mean, it was almost going to open up a can of worms.
Do you almost wish they would just leave baseball the way it was, right? I mean, they keep changing things and adding things, and it's like, I mean, I understand you got to move with the times to a certain extent, but I mean, as soon as they put in that rule about, you know, the amount of mound visit, well, I'm sure you enjoyed that one because that was, you know, a few less times you'd have to get up off your ass and go to the mound and talk to somebody. But, you know, just let it be the way it is. I think people that really enjoy baseball enjoy the game, and I don't really care. I mean, I'll take a really good 3.5 hour game over an average 2 hour game, right? Like, I don't care how long the game goes, as long as it's a good game.
Exactly. You know, if it's running too long, it's a slow moving game, go home. You know, go home in the 7 days. You know, that's the beauty of the baseball. It's the only sport in the game that doesn't have a clock, you know?
It's true. It does now.
Yeah. Exactly. So, no, I agree. You know, we've always tried, I know they try to make some things better, but it's also, you know, we've tried to screw up the game before, but, you know, it always comes back to the simple and pure game of baseball.
So, Gibby, so I have a question. Actually, we were actually talking about this off the top of the show, and here's my thoughts on this. It seems like, or I was saying to Barry, the umpires work for Major League Baseball. So, in my opinion, if Major League Baseball was to come out and say, listen, from now on, we're going to do an electronic strike zone behind home plate, and the umpires kicked up a fuss, well, so what? Like, the umpires work for Major League Baseball. And if they don't like it, Major League Baseball can say, okay, fine, guess what? Out. And we're going to bring a bunch of new ones in. What are your thoughts on this? It seems to me, Gibby, like the MLB sort of bows down or cowers when it comes to trying to deal with the umpires and maybe bring some new technology or hold them a little bit, like, you know, more accountable. There was some number out there where the best Major League umpires get 88% of the calls right. Well, that means that there's 12% of the calls that are wrong. You can lose a game on 12% of calls, correct?
No, I got you on that. You know, I'll tell you what, I'm going to bring, like, you know, the umpires, I don't know how accurate it is because most of them are pretty good. You know, yeah, naturally, they're going to make mistakes. We're making mistakes. You know, you start bringing too much technology. It's where, you know, I mean, one of the beauties of sports, especially baseball, you know, it's a human element. You know, guys, you got characters in the game. You know, you have mistakes are made. You know, it's not a perfect science. You know, that's where I think people get frustrated with analytics. You know, they think it's a bunch of robots. You know, if you're guaranteed a certain outcome, if you did everything right, you know, with like robots or something, great. Everybody did, but you know, it's not. You know, it's the human elements involved. There's, you know, weather conditions, everything. So you just kind of play, and that's kind of the beauty of it. And in the end, you know what? The best teams win. Teams with the most talent win. There's no, you know, there's no secret to that. So, you know, I would hate to see some kind of technology to balls and strikes. Sorry to shoot down your theory, but.
So hang on, Gibby. Are you saying that even without the whole garbage can technology that you think the Houston Astros still would have won the World Series?
Ooh.
Well, I tell you this right now. They got I don't know if there's a better team, more talent in the game. Do you?
I agree, you and know, that's why. And I agree with you. And that's why it bothered me so much that this happened to the Houston Astros, because this was a team that I thought was good enough to do it. And it's like, of all the teams in baseball, why do they need to do this? Like, and I'd love to know whose idea this was to begin with. And I know they've speculated who, but the fact that these guys were all on board, that you'd almost think they'd say, screw this. We don't need this shit. We're a great team. We don't need to do this.
No, you're right. I remember a few moments, you know, I'm not just talking about this. It's, you know, when the Yankees, the Red Sox got nailed for stuff, you know, with the Iowakis or whatever it is. And, you know, those two top talent-wise teams in the game, why they do it, I don't know. You know, they're looking for that edge. I mean, but those teams were going to win anyway. You know, it's maybe not. They might have won by 5 games instead of 15 games in them calling. Who knows, you know?
Gibby, without live sports, what they've done here in Canada, and I don't know if they've done it wherever you are, well, we know where you are in Texas, but they've been replaying the runs of 2015 and 2016 of the Toronto Blue Jays, and we've gotten to watch that incredible game against the Texas Rangers once again many times, and the bat flip and the whole bit. When you talk about great teams, How great were those 2015 and 2016 teams that you got to manage?
Really, really good. You know, 15, we should have won it all. We didn't. You know, that kind of eats at me like everybody else. But, you know what? Not only were we a great team as far as talent, you know, some of the characters in that group, the great competitors is what made that team special to me, you know. And it was kind of a high maintenance group. They had a lot of fun together. You know, they battled, they showed up to play every night, and then some of the best players in the game. So, this was never a dull moment either. You know, it's kind of something always going on. And some of those guys on that team that were despised throughout the league, for your most hated guys, but yet they're some of the best players. You know, so I miss that. I miss the characters in the team. I miss the camaraderie, you know, the competition. That's what I miss the most.
Gibby, we recently had Danny Valencia on the show, and we were chatting with Danny about the fact that when he came into Toronto, he kind of brought with him this misconception or this conception that he wasn't necessarily well-liked or that there was a bit of a high-maintenance personality that came with him. And listen, it's a small sample size. We chatted with him for about 50 minutes. I caught none of that off of our chat. What were your impressions of Danny Valencia?
There is the former Blue Jays manager, John Gibbons. Matt, he's always a blast.
That guy, honestly, he has a switch that's just always on. I'm sure of it.
Oh, yeah. And we attempted to do this over FaceTime, and he just had a shitty connection, so it didn't really work. But when we had, he's like literally lying down on his couch. It was great. It was just a great shot, even though we only had it for like 10 seconds. But it was really
beautiful.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you'd like to hear more of John Gibbons, part two will be available on Wednesday or Thursday, whenever we get to it. Our members only show. What is this members only thing? Well, it's an opportunity for you, our listeners to Out of the Park, to access more of these great conversations we're having. And it also allows you to help us, because this show does not pay for itself, folks. And we are doing our best to keep it going. And anything you can do to help out, if you go to our SoundCloud page,
SoundCloud.
Yes, you go to our SoundCloud page where these episodes are all posted. There is a part where you can make a donation if you can. Again, we know you're all under a lot of financial restraints right now because many of you aren't working, and we understand that. But if you do have a little extra to spare, and you are a fan of the show and you're able to help us out, that would be wonderful. As you know, we don't have any sponsors right now because of what is happening. So what we have from our members is very, very helpful. And anything that you can do to help us out would be wonderful. And joining the membership, you can do for as little as $3 a month US. And we also have a $5 a month plan as well. So whatever you can do to help out, we would really, really appreciate. You want to say something, Matthew?
Just, yeah. Any help? We had a member a couple weeks back that was kind enough to give a generous donation. And again, this feels like PBS. And we also understand that this is a really challenging time for everybody. But if Out of the Park is, you know, one of your happy places, please feel free to donate some money our way, right?
That's right. Absolutely. And hopefully, and here's another thing we should throw out there too. If you're a business owner, if you have a small business you want to advertise, if you have a product that you want to advertise, we can do that for you right here. As you know, and you know, you talk to the folks from the Jaywalk or Rajapai or any of the number of wonderful sponsors we've had on the show, we'll talk the shit out of your company. You know, we'll play you up, we'll make videos, we'll do whatever we can to push what it is you're trying to sell. So another thing to keep into consideration. All right, Matthew.
Yes, sir.
I want to thank you as always. And I'll tell you what, if I was fishing and I caught you, I would throw you back.
Yeah? No? Yeah,
not that you're not good eating, but I just feel so sorry for you. And yeah. I didn't want you in my boat anyway, so I'd throw you back.
Good. Good, you punk. Good.
Would never throw back any of you, our wonderful listeners. We do thank you for listening and making us a part of your week.
You've been listening to Out of the Park with Barry Davis. Thanks for joining us. Get home safely and see you next time.